So glad to have you. As we said at the start of the service, we are so glad to worship with you. If you are from Julia Street Church in Summerland, Summerland Baptist Church, or you're just visiting from out of town, we are so glad to have you with us. If you are joining us online, as always, wherever you are worshiping with us today, we are so glad that you are able to be with us. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Jeremy, and I get to be the lead pastor here at Bethel. And so I'm just so excited to be able to worship together today. What a privilege to stand in the presence of our God. At the end of this sermon, we're going to celebrate communion together. So if you haven't yet already, there's at each of the doors, the communion emblems are there. So why don't you just go right now, grab one, get up. You won't be embarrassed. Go right now, grab one, and then you'll have it ready for you at the end of the service. You know, a little while ago, I was with a friend. And I was feeling kind of generous. And so I invited my friend out for lunch. I said, why don't we go and grab some food together? And as we were waiting in line, it was our turn. And we got to the front of the line. So I stepped up to the cashier and I put my order in. And then she looked at me and she said, is that all? And I said, no. And with a flourish, I said, and whatever he's having. Right, you're just feeling, you ever had that generous moment? Like I got this, man. Let me bless you today. Whatever he's having, it's on me, my treat. And so he put his order in, and the lady rang it all up. And then she said, she gave me the total. And then I started to do this. How many know it's easy to be generous when you don't have your wallet on you, right? And so I looked at him, and I was kind of like, and he looked at me, he's like, don't worry, man, I got you covered. Will you say that with me and say, I got you covered? Have you ever had someone cover for you? Maybe you forgot your wallet. Maybe you're coming up a little short and they had to cover for you. Maybe you had a shift and you couldn't make your shift at work. Someone covered your shift. Maybe you were doing something a little naughty and you had someone cover for you. You know what I'm talking about? A little alibi, you know, maybe that your sibling. No, it wasn't your sibling, right? They're the ones ratting you out, right? I got you covered. You know, this has been an extraordinary weekend. We all are aware of that with the evacuation alerts, with uncertainty. Some of you have had to leave your homes. Families wondering what would happen next. Many of us wondering how we can help now. Some of you who've even lost things that can't easily be replaced. You know, when life becomes uncertain, one of the questions that arises is, who's got me? Who's got me? Who's got my family? Who's got my future? Who's got me when I don't know where to turn or what's coming next? You know, it's been incredible to see our community rally to support each other, to be there for each other. And so I know many of you have endured long lines and you've had anxious uncertainty as you've evacuated your homes. But there is a comfort in knowing that your community is showing up for you. And so it's been incredible to see that generosity and to be a part of it. I woke up yesterday knowing that God was shifting something in my heart. I'll tell you, one of the most anxious moments as a pastor is when you wake up on Saturday and you know the Lord's telling you that you need to change your sermon that you're prepared on all week. And so I had a sense in my heart that we needed to change our message today. Last week we kicked off a series. Pastor Riley launched us into a series on the metaphors of the Bible. But we're just going to pause that for a moment because the word I woke up with was the word that I think God wants to encourage us with today. And the word is this: I got you. I got you. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Psalm 121. And so for generations, for even more than centuries, for millennia, people have turned to the Psalms in times of need for comfort and encouragement. Psalm 121 says this: I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. Will you say, both now and forever. He's got you. The declaration of this psalm is that God has you covered. You know, Psalm 121 is from a group of psalms that we call the Songs of Ascent. They're pilgrim songs. They were sung, literally songs sung by Jewish pilgrims as they traveled on their journey to Jerusalem for the holy feasts. As they were on the road through Passover or Pentecost or the Feast of Tabernacles, before there were video games on phones, before there were DVD players in the minivan, before there was Spotify or Apple playlists to pass the time, these were songs that the pilgrims would sing to make the time go faster. They were also served to remind the travelers of important spiritual truths on their spiritual journey. They were reminded that God loves them and cares for them, that he's got them covered. You know, I want to be careful about something this morning. When we say, he's got you covered, what I'm not saying is that as Christians, we don't experience hardship or tragedy. We aren't saying that if you trust God enough, you'll never get an evacuation order. We're not saying that faithful people never lose their homes. We're not saying that Christians never get sick or never grieve, that they never experience loss or walk through uncertainty, because Scripture doesn't say that. See, following God isn't a free pass or an exemption from the realities of life. In fact, Jesus himself said in John 16, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But then he said this, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Jesus didn't promise no trials or hardships. He promised his presence in trials and hardships. See, hope isn't found in problem-free living. Hope is found in knowing someone's got you covered. Amen. And so we live in a day when hope isn't always easy to come by, is it? I don't know if you've ever tried to buy something. Maybe you needed a part for your car, or you know, there was something that you wanted to gift someone and you had found the perfect gift, but then when you went to order it, you got that message that it was out of stock, that it was sold out, or even worse, maybe it was discontinued. Have you ever had that message, right? Sometimes it feels like hope is out of stock. It's discontinued, but I want to encourage you today that it can be hard to look at the headlines at times and find real hope. We look at the messages about climate change and natural disasters, financial insecurity, political polarization and vitriol, right? Leadership crisis and a lack of integrity. There's rampant violence and evil. We all look at those headlines and say, where's the hope? Sometimes we even look at the headlines of our own lives. We have some amazing headlines, headlines that exceed our expectations of the things we experience, and the others where it fails to meet our expectations and are sometimes we are left disappointed. Maybe you've had your own moments where you found yourself thinking things like, I didn't sign up for this, right? I don't know how much more of this I can take. You ever thought that to yourself? This wasn't what I expected. You know, sometimes we find ourselves thinking, I just can't wait for this year to be over, right? As if turning the calendar is going to change anything, right? But we want to find hope somewhere. Maybe for you, financial stability isn't where you hoped it would be. Maybe employment has been inconsistent. Maybe you've had health issues that have been a factor for you or for someone else that you love. Maybe you're mourning the loss of someone you loved. Maybe you're here today and you've been displaced. Maybe you're here today and you've even lost a lot. You know, what frustrates me as I first approached this psalm was this seemingly saying nothing bad happens to those who trust in God. And you and I both know from experience and from Scripture that that's not true. But as I began to mine it through and think it through, I began to see it differently. This traveler's song certainly acknowledges the perils of life's journey. It acknowledges that there are loose stones and obstacles that can cause you to stumble. It acknowledges that exposure to the hot sun can cause fatigue and faint. It acknowledges that there's pressure and anxiety that causes us to even be emotionally ill. That's what it's talking about. It says this moonstroke. We've heard of sunstroke. The ancient people believed in moonstroke. It's like lunacy when the sun, when the moon comes out and everybody goes a little crazy. Right? But this psalm doesn't promise problem-free living. It readily acknowledges the reality of life's challenges. But what it does do, however, is that it sees circumstances in the light of God rather than seeing God in the light of our circumstances. Right? That's what faith does. See, faith doesn't deny circumstances. Faith refuses, on the other hand, to let circumstances tell us who God is. See, we don't look at God through the lens of what is happening to us. We look at what is happening to us through the lens of who God is. And so it's not that nothing bad happens to those in relationship with the Lord, but that when we face adversity, we can be assured that he's got us covered. In fact, as I was praying this through, it was as though the Lord was declaring his place in the realities of our lives. The Lord says, you may trip, but I'll catch you. You may fatigue, but I'm not going to abandon you. You may hurt, but I'm going to hold you through the pain. Psalm 121, 7 and 8 says, the Lord will keep you from all harm and watch over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. Will you say it again? Will you say now and forever? Some of you know I was on vacation the last 2 weeks, and I'm excited to be back, but I was also excited to go on vacation. Except for on the first day of my vacation, I had a revelation. I don't know if you ever get notices in the mail that you file away for later, right? Important notices that you put in the safe place that you know you need to come back to. And so quite a while ago, I got a notice that my car insurance was about to lapse. And I put that in the safe place. I need to deal with that. Well, how many know that it expired? It lapsed. But it wasn't until my first day of vacation where I realized, oh my goodness, my car insurance is expired. And so I made my way down to ICBC in my other car, of course, just to be safe, right? And I had to stand in line and get insurance on my vacation. Not a lot of fun, right? But God's coverage never expires. God's coverage never lapses. It's not up for renewal. God is with you now and forever. Say it one more time. Say now and forever. Let's unpack this psalm just a little more. See, the pilgrims, they journeyed through the hills towards Jerusalem. And they would have found themselves looking up at the mountains. How could you not look up and be awestruck at the majesty and wonder of the large hills, at the strength of the mountains against the backdrop of the sky? Despite their beauty, the hills were full of danger. Yeah. There were thieves and outlaws. You know, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan journeying through the mountains. There were wild beasts, lions and tigers and bears. Oh, no. It wasn't just danger, though. There was a lot of distractions. There were the high places, the shrines and the altars where worship was made to other gods. Author Eugene Peterson, he writes this. He says, during this time that the psalm was written and sung, Palestine was overrun with popular pagan worship. Most of this religion was practiced on hilltops. Shrines were set up. Groves of trees were planted. Persons were lured to the shrines to engage in acts of worship that would enhance the fertility of the land, that would make you feel good, that would protect you from evil. There were nostrums and protections, spells and enchantments against all the perils of the road. Do you fear the sun's heat? Go to the sun priest and pray for protection against the sun god. Are you fearful of the malign influence of the moonlight? Go to the moon princess and buy an amulet. Are you haunted by the demons that can cause the pebble under your foot to trip you? Then go to the shrine and learn the magic formula to ward off all of this mischief. The hills were alive, but not with the sound of music. It was this place of mayhem and not the kind of help that you needed. How many have experienced that when you resort to things other than God for help, it often turns into more trouble than the solution you thought they'd be? You know, who you look to in times of crisis matters. And we look to the news, and we look to the forecast, and we look to the government, and we look to the finances, and we look to other people, and all of those things are great, that God uses all of those things, but ultimately our help comes from the Lord. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever discovered that even when you're using the very best GPS and you put your destination in it, You still have to have the starting point in it. The starting point is equally as important as the destination. How can you get there from here if you don't have here in your coordinates, right? And it's the same with the journey of life. We need to start the journey with Jesus. Don't just include him. He wants preeminence in your journey. He wants the priority, not just a place in your life. And so this psalm encourages us to look right to the top, not to let fear set in, not to settle for self-made or man-made solutions that are found in the hills, but to look to the one who is enthroned above the mountains, the one who made it all and set it all into motion. The one of whom Amos 4:3 says, "For the Lord is the one who shaped the mountains, stirred up the winds, and revealed his thoughts to mankind. He turned the light of dawn into darkness and treads on the heights of the earth." Isaiah 43 says, "I, even the Lord, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. For you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God." See, who you call on matters. And so in this song of hope, a song about the providence and the protection and care of God and his intervention in our lives. And so in this passage, we see him referred to as our helper, our keeper. 6 times he refers to him as his personal care for us. And most importantly, unlike any other source of help, unlike any other claims of other world religions, this psalm speaks to the promised presence in our lives. And that's what gives us hope. That God will never be caught off guard or napping. He'll never be preoccupied with the bigger problems of the world that he forgets about you. I love this in verse 3. "The one who watches over you will never slumber." And verse 5 says, "The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade." You know, in another famous psalm, in Psalm 48, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam, let the mountains tremble as the waters surge." See, hope isn't found in living life without trouble. Hope is found in knowing that we don't face trouble alone. God's got you covered, not from everything, but through everything. There's a story told from the days of World War II that during the Blitzkrieg, when the Germans were bombing London all night, every night, and after one terrible attack, the people of London began to search through the rubble looking for the dead and the injured. After a while, everyone had been accounted for, all but one grandmother, a Mrs. Smith. They searched everywhere for her, and they finally found her in her bedroom, asleep in her bed. Shocked, they asked her, "Mrs. Smith, how could you sleep with all these bombs dropping all around?" And her answer was priceless. She said, "The Bible says that he who keeps watch over us never slumbers or sleeps. And so I decided there's no use in both of us staying up. And so I just went to sleep and left it in the Lord's hands." Friends, I know it's a joke. I know it's easier said than done. Today, I don't know what you're facing. Maybe it's uncertainty because of the fires. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's another issue that no one even knows about but you. Today, I want you to know that Psalm 121 reminds us to look up, not to the mountains, but to the God who made the mountains. He's not sleeping. He's not forgotten you. He's not abandoned you, and he hasn't lost sight of you. He's got you covered, not from everything, but through everything. And so this morning, I think communion is such a beautiful way to end this message. And as we take communion, we are celebrating the one who entered into our suffering, the one who gave himself for us, who conquered death and promised never to leave us. If you have your emblems, you can take them and be ready in a moment. You know, in John 17, in the time between the Last Supper and Jesus' arrest, Scripture records Jesus prayed for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is what it says in John 17. says, now I'm coming to you, to God. I told them many things while I was with them in this world so that they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word. The world hates them because they do not belong to this world, just as I do not belong to the world. But I'm not asking you to take them out of this world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Would you make them holy by your truth? Teach them by your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so that they could be made holy by your truth. And I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also all who will ever believe in me through their message. Jesus is praying for you and for me in the Garden of Gethsemane, just hours away from his own death, from his own arrest and suffering. What does he pray? He doesn't pray, God, would you make it so that nothing bad ever happens to them? Instead, he says, I'm not asking you to take them out of this world, but would you keep them? Keep them safe from the evil and keep them. Oh God, God doesn't pray for a trouble-free existence. He prays for his people to be kept in the middle of a troubled world. He knew what was coming. He knew his disciples were going to experience suffering, that they would experience persecution. He knew that the world wasn't going to become an easy place for them to live, but he says this, Father, would you keep them? Sometimes God's answer is not to remove us from the storm, but sometimes his answer is to keep us in the storm. That's the place we find ourselves in today. And so we take this bread, this little wafer at the top of this cup, representing the body broken so that we could be made whole. Would you take that bread with me this morning? Then we come to the cup. And Jesus said that this cup was a sign of his covenant, that God's presence and power would be at work in our lives daily and eternally. It's that God has you covered. By his grace, he's covered your sin. His presence covers your journey. And his promise covers your eternity. Would you take that cup with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Would you stand with me all across this place? I want to pray for us, and we're going to worship the Lord with one more song. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. God, sometimes it's easier said than done. Sometimes it's easier to know what we ought to do than to do it. Sometimes it's harder in the face of trial to put our faith forward. But God, today I pray that you would strengthen each and every one of us in this place so that we could live with hope, with eyes towards not just the hills, but above the hills, to the one who's enthroned in heaven, the creator of heaven and earth. You are our source of hope, our source of peace, our source of joy, our source of life itself. God, we bless you today. We bless you and lift up your holy name. In the name of Jesus.